Detective Alex Cross's birthday celebration should have been perfect, surrounded by his children, Damon, Janny, and Ollie, his grandmother Nana, his partner Bree, and his best friend Samson with family. The intimate gathering featured gifts, playful teasing, and a special surprise involving Caribbean vacation tickets. But when the phone rings, Alex's world collapses. His niece Caroline has been murdered, not just killed, but destroyed. Her body underwent morselization, likely using a wood chipper, leaving only a sealed bag of human remains. The drive back to Washington feels endless. At home, Alex notices his untouched birthday cake and airline tickets, symbols of joy now rendered meaningless. Unable to sleep, he's haunted by questions. Why Caroline? Why such brutality? Around 4:30, Bree stops him from getting up, reminding him he's not alone. "I'm going to do anything it takes for you and this whole family to get through this," she promises, giving Alex his first moment of warmth since receiving the terrible news. What makes this tragedy uniquely devastating is how it transforms Alex's role. He's no longer just a detective pursuing justice, but a grieving family member seeking answers. The case isn't abstract, it's deeply personal, blurring the line between professional duty and family obligation in ways that will test every aspect of his being. Alex and Bree search Caroline's stylish Asian-influenced apartment near Seward Square. Their investigation reveals Caroline worked as a high-end escort, evidenced by a leather datebook with coded entries, business cards for Capitol Hill lobbyists, and elaborate lingerie. Bree finds family photos, including one of Alex with his grandmother and brother. While interviewing families of missing persons, Alex and Samson meet Timothy O'Neill's parents. In Timothy's bedroom, Alex discovers a crucial clue, a string of 10 letters matching those in Caroline's datebook. Alex decodes these as encrypted phone numbers using a keypad system. With help from a contact, he identifies 15 high-profile individuals, including a congressman and CEO. Bree warns these high-resource people will resist investigation. Alex confronts news anchor Ryan Willoughby, whose number was found in Caroline's apartment. When shown Caroline's photo, Willoughby becomes defensive. After graphically describing her murder, Alex offers discretion for information, but promises public exposure when refused. Alex's investigation is interrupted when his grandmother Nana collapses in the kitchen. He finds her unconscious with a weak pulse and performs emergency measures while his children watch tearfully. At the hospital, Dr. Inglefield diagnoses congestive heart failure. When told she needs to stay several days, Nana immediately wants to leave. Alex pleads with her to take recovery seriously, and when she tearfully asks if this is where she'll die, he firmly reassures her. The family welcomes Nana home with a banner. Allie and Janny rush to greet her while Alex cautions gentleness. Bree offers to cut back at work to stay with Nana, a solution Nana prefers over hired help. Life refuses to compartmentalize. Just when Alex needs full focus on his investigation, his family foundation is threatened. These parallel crises create an emotional vice, testing his ability to function as both detective and family man. The investigation leads to Blacksmith Farms, an exclusive brothel run by Tony Nicholson. The mansion operates like an English gentleman's club, with Nicholson monitoring everything through hidden cameras for potential blackmail. A bachelor party is underway. 5 male escorts, 34 girls, 21 guests, and a $150,000 fee paid. Host Temple Souter partners at a prestigious D.C. law firm with Family Research Council and Saudi royal connections. The bachelor, Benjamin Painter, is marrying into a Washington dynasty and reportedly preparing for a Senate run. Outside, operatives document license plates and photograph guests while a command center monitors remotely. FBI agent Ned Mahoney secretly warns Alex about the club's high-profile clientele and surveillance. Most disturbing is how Blacksmith Farms represents Washington's shadow ecosystem, where lawmakers and enforcers violate by night the same principles they uphold by day, protected by a parallel power structure regardless of their actions. Tony Nicholson monitors his exclusive club via video screens, debating whether to record a client known only as Zeus. This wealthy masked man regularly books the carriage barn apartment and escorts, with some women never returning. Zeus arrives wearing his black executioner-style mask, greeting two waiting escorts with a disguised voice. The bedroom meets his specifications: curtained windows, vodka, latex gloves, and a rubber sheet on the mattress. After the women undress, Zeus has them share handcuffs. When one feigns fear, he coldly states he can tell the difference. As genuine fear appears in her eyes, he approves. Much better. He then reveals a taser gun and pliers from his briefcase. An FBI raid on Blacksmith Farms fails when Nicholson's lawyer arrives with a motion from Judge Gibson revealing the club's deep connections to Washington's elite. Later, Alex discovers an empty bedroom in a luxury apartment on the property. Luminol testing makes the entire room fluoresce blue, suggesting someone methodically removed evidence of a crime scene. The investigation intensifies when Tony Nicholson is kidnapped and tortured about Zeus recordings, forcing him to reveal Detective Alex Cross has the desk. Alex and Samson discover Remy Williams dead in an unfinished cabin, shotgun in his left hand, sorry carved into his arm, face partially blown off. Nearby, canine units unearth human remains similar to Caroline's case, likely Tony Nicholson and his mistress. At the Eisenhower Executive Office building, they learn about Constantine Zeus Bowie, a former Secret Service agent whose performance declined after 9/11. Bowie later established a security company with suspected organized crime connections. At Bowie's townhouse, Alex volunteers to negotiate. Inside the immaculate home, he finds Bowie in boxers, sweating profusely, aiming a gun at a SWAT officer. Suddenly, glass shatters and Bowie falls with a bullet hole in his head. Alex realizes with fury that he'd been used as bait. They intended to kill Bowie all along. In Alabama, Alex and Ned meet Hannah Willis, Caroline's murder survivor. She describes how Zeus handcuffed and brutalized them at Blacksmith Farms before two men arrived for cleanup. Both women were forced into a car trunk where Hannah held Caroline's hand until she died. Hannah later escaped from a remote cabin despite being shot. Her testimony confirms Alex's knowledge about Caroline's murder, with only Zeus's identity remaining unknown. Hannah's revelation stuns Alex. At the Kennedy Center Honors, First Gentleman Theodore Teddy Vance is shot in the head by Secret Service agent Cormorant, who is then killed as the president is evacuated. Alex believes this was the final act in a presidential cover-up. Nana recovers from her health crisis, and Alex proposes to Bree during a snowy hike. Their celebration is interrupted by Kyle Craig, the mastermind, offering a temporary truce as his wedding present while warning Alex not to get comfortable. Justice remains imperfect, and evil persists. Yet life continues with moments of joy and love, things worth fighting for, even as new threats emerge.